And welcome back to the Bicycle Indiana podcast, Life Behind Bars. Margaret B. here, executive director. This is something that I have wanted to talk to these two individuals for a long time. I unfortunately did not get to know these two individuals as much as I did Nathan, who was part of this organization for a very long time. But talking to these two leaders of this organization is something really special. It is a huge part of my life, which is getting kids on bikes. The youth is important to be, you know, on a bike and learning how to ride, and it's the future of, you know, the future cyclists. So this discussion is really important because this organization is not only getting kids on bikes, but implementing STEM, as well as going to the children, and bringing that bike equipment, education, and bring it to the classroom, which is something that's really different. And I hope that our listeners and other communities around the state of Indiana, you know, listen to this and think, wow, this is a really great program. Can they come to my school? Can they come to my child's school? Can they? I'm a teacher. I'm a physical education teacher, and I want this program to come to my school. So I really hope everyone enjoys this discussion. Like I said, if you are not a member, please take a moment, go to our website, www.bicycleindiana.org. Follow us on social media. Facebook and Instagram are our two main platforms. Become a member. That helps us keep rolling. As well as, I'm recording this before the actual Bicycle Indiana resource guide, which is known as the BIRG, is printed, but we should have that available for order, or if you want a copy. But other than that, please go to our website, join, become a member. It's quick and easy. $25 helps, again, us keep rolling and keep doing the great things that we're doing. So enjoy this discussion and ride on. Welcome back to the Bicycle Indiana podcast, Life Behind Bars. Margaret B. here, Executive Director of Bicycle Indiana. Really excited to be on a call with these two. I have been aware of this organization for some time, and I'm really, like I said, excited to share their story, their mission, and their programs that they're doing, changing lives in school districts, as well as getting more kids on bikes. So welcome Aaron and Tom to the show.
Thank you so much for having us today. I'm Tom Hanley. I'm CEO and founder for 913 Sports.
Nice. Nice. Do you want to, I guess, maybe tell a little bit about yourself and maybe how you got into biking?
Yeah, great question. So my background was an elite level cyclist. It's what brought me to Indianapolis here when I was 17 years old as part of Marion's cycling program. And track and road was what I did well. I had the chance to travel the country and world to be able to do that and compete at the highest levels. And the bike was always this piece of freedom, this piece of sport, this way to be able to explore, you know, so many different things. And from 17 to 23, I was continuing to compete at a high level. And then my cycling career ended very suddenly when I was 23 years old. I was on a private limousine bus that ran a red light here in Indianapolis and collided with another vehicle. And I walked away with two broken vertebrae and a brain injury. And my best friend was killed. And I thought I was going to become an attorney. That had been my path after undergrad. And in the year I spent grieving, healing, resting, recovering, I would ultimately write what would become the business plan and framework for 913 Sports as we know it today. And I really just wanted to be able to continue to be engaged with the bicycle in some way, even if I wasn't going to be able to compete. And I want to be able to do something that really gave back to the community that in that those months and years after, you know, was integral to me and seeing how amazing Indianapolis was. And so ultimately, I launched 913 Sports on Valentine's Day of 2012. So we just celebrated 13 years of programming here in 2025. And I still get to play with the bicycle every day. It's just in a very different way than when I was competing.
Yeah, and I'm excited to talk about kind of the process. So welcome to the show. I appreciate you sharing all that information. Aaron, you want to take a moment to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name's Aaron Coombs. I'm the COO over at 913 Sports. I will have been with 913 8 years this April. Always had a passion growing up working with kids in whatever learning environment or facet that I could. Kind of ended up finding myself at a different job that didn't check all my boxes, and luckily had come across Tom, who knew where my passions lied, and ended up being able to bring me onto the team 8 years ago. So it's been an awesome ride with 913. It's a very humbling experience with everything we do, and I'm excited to be a part of it.
Yeah. I always think about how I've met the individuals that I interview and talk to. And a lot of them I've met through, you know, obviously biking and events. And to be honest, I feel like I knew Nathan more, you know, just because he was the connection that I had made long ago with Nika and getting kids on bikes. And I know Nathan moved on to work at another place, but I'm, like I said, really excited to listen to both of you today because I haven't gotten to know you and what you two are doing for the state and for Indianapolis for biking and getting kids on bikes is really amazing. So really, really excited to dive into this. So let's kind of kick this off. I'm going to put Tom on the spot. I know you kind of already mentioned a little bit about the history and how you started it, but I really want to let our listeners know the specifics. You know, obviously you said Valentine's Day, of how 913 Sports started.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the takeaways I had from all my time traveling and competing in all these other amazing cities across the country was seeing how other communities did their work to be able to engage with the bicycle and youth in their community, whether that was through various velodrome programs, whether that was through just creating safe routes for kids to be able to ride and bike paths and bike culture. And I felt like we had, in the late 2010, early 2010s, you know, late 2000s, this really good racing scene in Indianapolis, but there was a big drop off from competitive cyclists, you know, from Cat 3 to Elite and UCI Elite to getting kids engaged with a bike. And I really felt like we were missing an area and opportunity there. So it had always been on the back of my brain, like, how can I do this? And so when I was designing the business plan for 913, I knew that we could use the bicycle as a way to connect with kids. And I was blissfully naive. I was 24 years old. I didn't have a nonprofit background. I thought I was going to be a business attorney. So this was an all new area. And the education piece to me made sense, that we had to go to where the kids were. We had to go to the schools. I did not know that going into schools during the school day was unusual. I did not know that at that point they were still pretty sterile environments and it was hard to get in. But fortunately for me, nobody told me no. And one thing led to another and led to another. And we launched in a really bootstrapped, you know, version of really more this kind of entrepreneurial experience, right? We were talking marketing dollars. We were talking corporate engagement. We built this model where we weren't charging schools directly for our programs. And the whole goal was to get kids riding bikes. And we were going to do it in a safe and effective way that served a lot of kids. And so I took what I knew well, which at that point was the CompuTrainer platform, the multi-rider platform that was kind of in its heyday, the best tool in the world to be able to use for indoor riding. And then I started to make it a little weird. I took this high-end CompuTrainer system and I paired it with a 24-inch wheeled beach cruiser, coaster brake beach cruiser, that I knew was going to be able to work with kindergartners and first graders just as much as high schoolers, and built out the electronics package to be able to roll that into a school site, set it up as part of the kids' gym classes. And suddenly I was seeing 150 to 200 kids per school per day on our bikes. And we just saw continued steady growth and momentum. And we knew we were onto something. The PE teachers are a close-knit community here in Indiana. So the buzz that was getting created with them was, this is a really cool program. They don't charge us for it. The kids love it. Do you know how many kids don't ride bikes that I thought every kid rode a bike? I mean, this was the chatter and the feedback we were getting from these teachers. And so we very intentionally and deliberately continue to grow that model and scale it. and ultimately went from serving three schools in 2012 to more than 125 schools in 2019 before the pandemic. And we're very quickly bouncing back to, you know, 100 plus schools and community partners a year that we work with. So to me, the framework for what we do is the bicycle is the ultimate equalizer. It doesn't care about race, gender, sexual orientation, socioeconomic status. The bicycle is this tool that can be used to provide transportation to school, to work, to better methods of public transportation, like a bus line. It is a tool that can be used for fitness and health. It's a tool that can help you explore your community, or in some cases, escape it. And for us, it was very important to be able to bring that motto and that messaging to the kids. I mean, when we go into a school for the first time, about 10% of the kids we see have never been on a bicycle before.
Wow.
Not don't know how to ride a bike, but have never swung their leg over a bike before.
Yeah.
And that is statistically consistent, whether in urban Indianapolis or rural Indiana, and whether we're talking about 7-year-olds or 14-year-olds. And so we love the bicycle. Everybody who's listening to this podcast loves the bicycle and the power behind it, but we need to make sure that we're engaging and enabling the next generation of future adults to be able to use the bicycle for all of these great things that we know is possible with it.
Yeah. I have a lot of questions later that I'm going to ask that will dive, I think, even more into some of the things that you just talked about. But Aaron, I'm going to put you on the spot. Can you kind of describe the location of your facility? I've been there and it's grown since the first time I saw it. I got another tour. But do you want to let our listeners know kind of how you store the equipment and what kind of equipment and just kind of the location?
Yeah, I think it's definitely important as part of our history to note that, like, especially when I came on board with 913, we were working out of the basement of Shortridge High School. 913 had an agreement with them where they weren't charging us for the space, which was awesome, being a small nonprofit. But being in the basement as a bike organization comes with a lot of headaches. I mean, there were multiple days where we were up and down those staircases, moving bikes up and down, and then walking pretty far to the lot that held our vehicles that wasn't necessarily always secure. So while we were thankful for that space, and that space allowed us to grow, it's been monumental for us to be able to move into this space, which we did in 2018. We not only were able to build out offices for our staff, but we were also able to have conference room, general meeting space, just space to get the work done that we really had coming down the pipeline. It also allowed us to be able to store all of our vehicles, all of our programming vehicles, under one roof. We basically call our spot the depot. So we're able to get our kids' building bikes mobile trailer that's semi-foot length into this building, as well as all of our programming sprinters and our 913 logistics vehicles as well. The sprinters typically hold all of the equipment when it comes to a kids' riding bikes program that is very turnkey. Kind of like Tom mentioned, we go to where the kids are at. 90% of our programming is mobile. So that those sprinters live in the depot, the mobile building bikes is set up for six kids and lives in here. And then we were able to build our own building bikes lab where we can not only double the amount of kids that we serve versus the mobile trailer, but we're able to host community events in here. We're able to open up the space to people like SEBA who want to have a monthly director meeting or talk about the Hilly 100. The space is versatile, not only for our use. We also host field trips within the space as well, but we're also able to open it up for the community. So this space has been really transformational. We've slowly taken over ownership of the building, which is just opening up more opportunities for growth with 913.
That's great. No, I mean, I've been there and I agree. I might keep you on my list of contacting if I need to host a board meeting or something.
Yeah,
it'd be a great opportunity.
Reach out to me.
Yeah. So I want to ask about the name, Tom. What's the history behind the name, as you both laugh and smile? What's the history?
Normally, that's, you know, 5 minutes earlier in an interview or meeting when that
True.
Question gets asked. So I love when we make it 8 minutes in before it gets dropped.
It's always asked.
I really wish there was some awesome story behind it. It is a totally self-serving
name.
It's September 13th. In fact, when you look at the logo, it's nothing more than a desktop day calendar. That was the inspiration for it.
Okay.
But, you know, for me, it's great because one, it shows you how I didn't know how big this organization was going to grow. I mean, it is amazing. And so to still have the little piece of me, that little piece of personal branding on every vehicle, We have every staff that's wearing a shirt. I'm committed to this for the long haul. And so it is it's a pretty humbling experience to get to see, you know, that self-promotion brand of 913 be be the advertising piece of everything we do. But it's just great to see the logo in as many places as we get to here in 2025.
Absolutely. And I've seen it on race jerseys with John Singleton to other places at different events. And Aaron, you used a great word, transforming. And I feel like I've watched you guys also transform children, you know, getting kids on bikes, but also you as an organization. So my next question is, I kind of want to talk a little bit about like the different roles, you know, with your staff. Obviously you explained a little bit and we'll go into more detail about the specific programming, but you bring a lot of your programs are mobile. So what are the different kind of roles? And if somebody were listening and being like, oh, I want to be part of that team, what are some of the different jobs and titles that you have at the organization?
So I would say that the heart and soul of our company is our youth programming staff, the people that are out in the field every single day, working hands-on with the students that we're serving and the youth that we're serving. We have five youth programmers, and they're versatile across all programming lines. To be able to go to a kids riding bike site one day and turn around and be a co-instructor for a kids building bike site is very important to us. It can be daunting to somebody who's not been a part of this organization and views it as a bike organization, thinking that they need to have that bike mechanical aptitude to be able to do this job. And that's not needed. We are an education nonprofit, and that doesn't mean we just educate the youth we serve. We educate the staff that we retain too. So quite honestly, when I came on board, I couldn't tell you really anything about my bike besides how to raise and lower the seat. And I mean, I know how to service my bike, change a flat tire, all the basics with that. And it's nothing that's not hard. So our staff is pretty much trained on all the basics they need to know, but the versatility across the programming lines is definitely the most important. So if someone has interest, I mean, our website is very easy to access and send an application or resume. Same for me. We also have some really key employees. We have a curriculum and education facilitator. So his main job is not only to focus on how we tie educational standards to our programming, no matter what it is, but also what the curriculum looks like for things like our building bikes program or the advancement of our STEM programming, being able to be more intentional with what we're doing with that, not only to not reinvent the wheel, but to have something that's unique and interesting for teachers in an already pretty saturated market.
Absolutely. No, that's great. I'm going to go on to the next kind of main chunk of discussion that I think is really incredible. And I'm on your website, obviously, and I'll put information in the description. But you have what I see on the website, four main programs. And I'd like to kind of, if we can, kind of dive into those programs. But first off, you said you go into school systems. And does that, my first question would be, is that only Indianapolis public schools, IPS schools, or are you going outside of the donut? An example, I have a friend who's a teacher here in Terre Haute, and she found your information and she called me and she goes, how do I get these people into my school? And she's one of the most, I mean, extraordinary PE teachers. And so I think I contacted her with Nathan. This was multiple years ago. And I think it was obviously really far out of your, you know, your radius of traveling, Terre Haute. But yeah, Tom, do you want to talk about specifically what schools you work with?
The beautiful thing about us being a mobile focused program is, you know, we have bikes and we'll travel. And so while I certainly started the organization to be focused on the Beltway, you know, within Marion County here, we do a lot of work in the donut counties, and we've got a lot of partners that pull us well beyond the donut counties. So it's not unusual for us to be an hour away from Indianapolis, or with the right partner, 90 minutes away. So we spent a lot of time in southern Indiana. Vigo County is definitely an area on our priority list. So let's continue that conversation offline. But, you know, the goal for us is to be accessible for as many entities as possible. And then, and candidly, our demand list is, our request list is much higher than what we can service. So the hardest part for Aaron and I and our chief strategy officer is finding the right funding solutions to be able to make sure we can make the impact we want wherever we're at. And that's in some ways the kind of fun puzzle to put together, right? As we get to work with these smaller communities or these communities that are in totally different geographic footprints than Indianapolis. And it actually has been great for our business model because we're going to them. We're being able to engage with funders and partners that never would otherwise work with us here in Indianapolis. But because we're able to service and serve the kids in their community and their school district right in their hometown, it's a perfect fit. And so we do a lot of work alongside that. And we really view that diversification of partnerships and counties we serve as just another strength within our business business line.
Yeah. So again, going back to the different programming, you have one that is the most, I guess, memorable for me, because the first one I learned about, which was your kids riding bikes program, which you go into the schools. Aaron, do you want to take a moment to kind of describe to our listeners the setup and kind of what happens, like a typical day for that type of program?
Yeah, so this program is a stationary bike simulator program. We roll into a school site. Our team fully unloads and sets up. What the setup looks like is 8 cruiser bikes that are on stationary trainers, and they face a interactive TV screen. So when kids come into their PE class, we're addressing the class in general to go over basic safety rules, to kind of talk about who we are and why we're there. And then we work with the PE teacher to rotate kids in. So we work with 8 kids up to a time. The bikes are very versatile for K through 12. So we're able to serve the youngest students all the way up to the oldest students. And then the program that we use is interactive. We oftentimes say that it's gamified because we live in a world where kids speak the video game language, but they don't speak the active language. And so we've kind of manipulated what we do, and they're playing a game while they're also exercising. So the software that we use is not only interactive, but it's also providing a little bit of a challenge for them. They're riding different courses that have topography on it, that they're feeling the resistance change, whether they're going uphill or downhill. And it's all designed to meet the need of the student. So obviously we're not giving a kindergarten the hardest hill to ride up, but we're able to give them something that they can still pedal and get to the end and feel that sense of accomplishment. What's also cool about the program is we started utilizing point of view videos in the classes. So our team has worked to build a plethora of videos that show trails and greenways and bike lanes all around the city. We're starting to grow that to start working with some of our partners elsewhere to really give kids an experience that takes them outside the four walls of their gym class. So a lot of people refer to it as very Peloton-esque, but the kids are experiencing riding alongside someone as they explore downtown Indy, which has been really cool to utilize as well. So that program typically runs for an entire school day. We're at a school for a certain amount of time to be able to see all the students. So we can be at a school for 5 days. We can be at a school for 1 day. It really just depends on how many students are there. At the end of the day, we load up the equipment and we start new the next day.
That's great. No, I think it's incredible that you're able to have that great partnership with IPS schools, and obviously changing lives. I've been part of the world of getting kids on bikes, and I think kids need that activity and movement, and some don't even know how to ride a bike. And this is an opportunity for them to sit on a bike and just feel how the pedals move and how to sit and balance themselves. So
it's not only a door opening to trying the bike out, but it's also hitting on that physical and mental wellness. They're getting off the bikes feeling tired, but they're happy. So they're seeing that benefit immediately within that 10 minutes that we've worked with them.
Right. And not every school or area is safe, you know, for kids to ride bikes outside. So this gives them a great place to still move.
Yep.
Tom, did you want to add anything about that program that Aaron didn't touch on, or?
No, I mean, the big thing for us is we try to make it as equitable as possible. So we work with kindergartners and up. We survey PE teachers before we come into the building. And if there's students that have physical disabilities and they need us to bring an adaptive bicycle, we're continuously looking how we can make sure that absolutely every student that is participating in that PE class can participate with us and make sure the bike is as mainstream as possible as a result of that.
Absolutely. That's incredible. My next
program on your website is the Kids Building Bikes. And I had an opportunity to see at one of your trailers, as well as the facility at your offices, where you can bring in children to go through a program to build bikes or learn how to build a bike. Tom, you want to talk about that program?
Yeah, so Kids Building Bikes was our second program line we launched in late 2018, and it was really focused on the response to, we get kids excited about the bicycle, but then what? And we knew that a lot of the kids we were working with, especially the demographics and clientele, didn't have access to a bicycle at home, and we didn't just want to be a bicycle giveaway program. And so we wrote what would become the curriculum for Kids Building Bikes, and it is centralized around a concept of about 16 hours of curriculum. And whether that's delivered twice per week for 4 weeks or in a longer format over the course of 5 days, whatever it may be. But the students are coming through that program, learning how to use tools, how to screwdriver, a wrench, an Allen key. And over the course of the 16 hours, they are assembling a brand new bicycle and ultimately taking it home with them, along with the helmet, lock, and tool set. The program itself is focused on grades 4th through 8th. And, you know, it's our opportunity to be able to talk about workforce development. It's our opportunity to be able to put on these students' radars the power of that wrench, the power of that screwdriver, and how that can translate into real career pathways and workforce readiness as they get older. I look around and I see what's going on across the state of Indiana. And when you talk about workforce development, normally that is not a specific topic of discussion until they're in high school, when you talk with state entities and whatnot, right? And so to me, that's much too late. So getting these kids to think about what they can do, what they want to be when they're 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, and the power of something as simple as a wrench really creates these new pathways. And then ultimately, with them graduating with a high quality, a giant bicycle currently, a giant ATX, they get to take home along with all the fixings to go with it. They're set up for success. And for the students we serve, they are growing up typically with hand-me-down clothes, hand-me-down shoes, hand-me-down toys, right? And so it was very important for me when I modeled this program that the students earn something brand new. The students earn something that will last a long time and is something that is high quality, that they understand not just the real value of, but the intrinsic value of what it means to them. So it's been phenomenal to see the program launch. We initially, when we rolled it out, kept true to the 913 Sports mission of going to the community and to the kids where they are. So we've got a 48-foot semi-trailer style bike lab built out that we roll out to schools on a regular basis. But then in late 2020, as we were navigating the pandemic, we also began to build out first for us, a bricks and mortar bike lab here at the depot that allowed us to be able to host students in-house for the first time ever, which also meant we were able to begin to launch open enrollment programs. So for the first time in the history of 913, a kid didn't have to be at the right school at the right time to be part of a program. Their parent or guardian could sign them up and bring them directly to us. And the mission's the same. How can we use the bike as a way to be able to just connect these community resources and give kids a chance to do something that they never otherwise would do?
Yeah, you're the second kind of program that I've heard so far, and there's probably others in the state, but South Bend Bike Garage, which I'm pretty sure I told them about you. But South Bend Bike Garage, we interviewed them last season, and they have a junior mechanics program, and it's similar to yours. I don't think they're new bikes, but they're used bikes that they fix up and then they sell. To bring in income for the co-op. But then the junior mechanics then graduate and then teach and work in the shop to teach the new kids or teach other people or even just get a job working at the garage. So I really believe what you're doing is really incredible and changing lives, and you hit it spot on. Aaron, did you want to add anything about the Kids Building Bikes program?
I think like one of the cool things that's happened in the past 12 to 18 months is we've got funding to roll that mobile lab more, which we hadn't historically been able to do. So we're working with more schools across Marion County specifically, and hearing stories of why some of these students are picked or how the groups are formed that are part of these cohorts is always really, really interesting. And we're hitting a lot of kids that fall in the mile radius of where IPS dropped busing. And so these kids are walking to school. They don't have adequate transportation. So working with some of those kids specifically to not only provide them the skills and the bike that they get, but like the transportation aspect of it too, has just been really cool to see.
Yeah, it's definitely. I'm excited to watch you guys grow and just continue this great work. I did have on my notes here, just because with South Bend Bike Garage and specifically working with Specialized in the Outride program, which is another episode that we recorded, but they have Specialized, for example, has a lot of information about the data specifically connected to the, obviously the mental health, the physical activity and improving that mental health in student athletes. Do you have from 913 Sports perspective and programming, do you have specific data that you can share with our listeners?
Yeah, it's been one of the exciting things that we've gone through this growth phase is we've been able to be more intentional with our alumni that come through this program, understand not only the true metrics of the entry and exit testing in terms of the, you know, immense amount of confidence that they gain and the skills that they gain, which is, you know, across the board, just rewarding to see. But for us, the big picture is how can we continue to engage with these students long term and be able to create those long term data sets that go with that. And while it's hard with kids riding bikes, I mean, and the kids riding bikes program will service about 40,000 students here in Central Indiana in 2025. Our kids building bikes is more like a couple hundred, just in terms of the deep dive and deep dosage with that. So we are just now really being able to be very intentional with those post surveys, those 1 year, 2 year, 3 year surveys, thanks to some generous funders that have enabled us to be more intentional with the alumni programs. But, you know, for us, the big takeaway is the kids are coming out as a whole more confidence in terms of their skills, more confidence in terms of how to use the bicycle and use the bicycle safely, and ready to be able to ride with their family and their friends and be able to utilize the bicycle infrastructure here across the city.
That's great. That's great. Two more programs that are on your website, at least what I'm looking at right now. But let's talk about Explore Indy. Erin, you want to talk about Explore Indy?
Yeah, so Explore Indy is really cool because we're actually getting out and about riding bikes. This program is not only great for youth that are able to ride a bike, but we work with adult partners as well. Whether it's a team outing to show their team Indianapolis, or if we're working with a community partner that has a group of 13 fifth grade girls that want to do a ride. It's a really cool program. We like to say that it's basically seeing Indianapolis at the human pace. You're seeing things that you may have stopped, you know, passed by in your car a million times, but didn't know the history of, didn't know anything about. And we're also exploring the infrastructure that Indianapolis is slowly but surely making a priority for cyclists. So it's fun. It's the ones that we're excited to do during the summer, because we're outside of a gym, we're outside of a church or community partnership. We're out and about and exploring, and that's just fun.
That's great. That's great. And I see that you have Bike Camp. Let's talk about Bike Camp.
Yeah, so Bike Camp's been this program that we've been able to bring online here since 2021. And in reality, it's mirroring a couple other program initiatives we're working on here in 2025. We are very fortunate to have all of these great modules. You know, we've got these modules from kids riding bikes in terms of how we engage with the kids on the bike sims. We've got these modules from building bikes, from the very logical ones, like how to change a tube, to the mechanical aspects of how gears work and the math behind it. And so Bike Camp, we launched as an initial partnership with Indy Parks. And so this summer it's in four parks across the city. It's a week long camp. And we use every part of our modules, our curriculums across all of our program lines to be able to engage with kids, give them an opportunity to explore the park that they're at, the greenways around that park, bring in our mobile pump track to be able to get the kids some basic skills and challenge them a little bit, and really just open it up in a different and engaging way. And that's really the fun part of where Erin and I are spending a lot of our time moving forward as well. Those are our four current program lines. We're seeing more and more opportunities to take that same concept, take parts and modules of these various programs that we've built successfully over the last 13 years and repackage them in different ways. And so we're doing more and more field trips here at the Depot, where we actually have schools bringing their kids here to learn the math and science and STEM concepts that go with the bicycle. And we are currently finalizing plans here to be able to roll that field trip concept, that STEM concept, directly to schools as well. And not just be able to engage with kids in their PE class, but hopefully be able to engage with the students in their primary classroom, their fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth grade classroom. So as we look at that trajectory, we continue to be very intentional with what can we do to help support the amazing work educators are doing across Indiana. And we're just fortunate that we get to use the bicycle as a common thread in everything we do.
Yeah. Yeah, this is great. I'm going to ask this one question, then I have some more serious questions to ask. So events, I've obviously seen you bring all your stuff and equipment and set up a whole tent and everything at events. If somebody wanted to have you come to an event, or if you, you know, where can we see you at events, I guess, is my two questions. Aaron, what's a way for an event to maybe invite you to come, or what's the process?
So the best way is going to be through our events page on our website. There's a specific bring us to your event tab that they can click and then fill out all the information, or directly reaching out to me. So I'll make sure that you have my email on there as well. But the cool thing about events is we really try to meet the need of who we're serving, whether it's setting up for the Indy Crit Ride downtown and being a part of their kids zone, or if we're working with someone else to be a resource for a bike rodeo that they're putting on. We try to definitely serve the need that they have. And what's really cool about community events is it gives us a chance to interface with the families as well. I mean, a lot of these families, especially when we're in Marion County, have heard their child come back and say, I rode bikes in gym class, but they don't fully understand what it is until they're there and they see the setup and riding alongside their kids. So the events are really cool. And like I said, we're always trying to make sure that we're adaptable to what the ask is. And yeah.
Yeah. All right. More serious questions now. Brace yourself. I want to talk about COVID. I bring this up on a lot of the discussions because when I travel around the state, experiencing COVID, obviously, you know, as Margaret and working in it and being in the industry, but I do try to ask everyone that I do interview because I feel COVID has impacted a lot of the organizations or programs or even bike shops that we deal with every single day. How did COVID impact you specifically? Because schools, you go into schools and you interact with students, but how did COVID impact you, Tom? Oh, as you smile, I'm sure it was a very interesting time.
Yeah, it's hard to believe we're coming up on 5 years of that.
I know.
Very organization and world-changing chunk of time, right? So we were in a pretty unique spot as an organization. We'd been in this massive growth phase. We had just finished the build-out of our office at the depot in May of 2019. So we'd less than 10 months from when we were officially moved into where things were at when the world shut down. And I sent my staff home on an extended spring break on Friday, March 20th of 2020, watched them walk out the door, and quite honestly knew in my heart that most of them probably would never be coming back through. We had a couple months of runway. We had been in this big growth phase. We'd spent a lot of money, and we didn't know what was going to happen next. I mean, we had partners calling us that were putting stop payments on checks because they were going into cash conservation mode themselves, right? So, sent my staff home, felt really sorry for myself over the course of a weekend, and come Monday morning, ultimately took note of the assets we had on hand. And it was a very short list. And I sent out an email to six people in the city of Indianapolis that we work with, a couple on the government side, a couple on the philanthropic side. And I said, we've got 10 staff, 4 vans, 10,000 square feet of warehouse space, and a forklift. How can we help? And within a couple hours, I was on the phone with the mayor's office and with Gleaners Food Bank here in Indiana. And we were learning that there were these two very distinct needs that the city was trying to figure out how to help solve. And one was helping transport large amounts of food to community centers and parks and all these things that became overnight food pantries that were having a hard time being able to stay stocked with enough inventory. And then how to be able to build a home food delivery program here in Marion County that would get food to the doorsteps of clients that were COVID positive or elderly or immunocompromised or didn't have extra transportation. And like all good social entrepreneurs, I said, yeah, bikes, food, moving things, we can figure it out. We'll make it work. And 48 hours later, we were picking up our first pallets of food from Gleaners. And a week after that, we were delivering food to the first doorstep of a client or resident here in Indianapolis. And I thought to myself, this could only last 60, 90, maybe 120 days, right? But at least we'll be able to keep our staff employed. So we called them back and said, hey, if you're comfortable doing this, we need help. And at its peak, we were delivering food to about 2,500 unique homes a week. We were moving more than 1 million pounds of food a week with our box trucks and trailers. And we did too good of a job because they won't let us stop. So within the hierarchy of 913 Inc., which is the nonprofit that is 913 Sports, we have a sibling division called 913 Logistics. And we've been very fortunate for that. So, you know, for a year, all we did was deliver food. And immense credits to my staff and Aaron and everybody, because they went from working with 150 kids a day in schools to delivering food to 75 homes a day. Yeah. And they were spending 8 hours a day in a van driving around a corner of the city, helping feed our neighbors and residents. And, you know, the big takeaways I had from that are twofold. One, a lot of the same clients that we focus on serving with our riding and building bikes programs were the same clients we're delivering food to. So, I mean, it really just expanded on our mission of being a neighborhood resource and being a community resource here in Indiana. The other aspect of that was kind of the unintentional, and that was the fact that we had our staff together for 8 hours a day, two staff members to a van and four vans going out. And our staff were staying pretty potted so we could, you know, be able to mitigate issues if somebody got ill. And the unintentional consequence of all of that was all of the amazing discussions that happened in those vans over the course of that year. And so as we began to come out of the pandemic and return to programs in April of 2021, our kids riding bikes program, our building bikes program looked different. It was much more intentionally leaned in on the education side. It had in a lot of ways transformed for that year. We weren't doing any programming, and it allowed our programming to come back leaner, meaner, more intentional, and more focused on the education piece of the puzzle. And so we were very fortunate. The logistics division allowed us to survive. We were able to still play a role in helping serve our community. And more importantly, coming back and made our programs better. And that impact is still felt to this day here in 2025.
Yeah, it like gave you a moment to kind of stop, revisit, and really plan out exactly what you wanted to do. That's great. That's great. Aaron, did you have anything to add about COVID?
No, I mean, it was definitely a wild experience. I mean, I took this job to work with kids. So then to turn around and be in a van all day, every day was definitely kind of a shock, but it was definitely a humbling experience at the same time, because we saw every facet of Indianapolis. I mean, I can pretty much confidently say I've been in every apartment building and every long-term care facility in Indianapolis, mm-hmm. which I never would have. So your eyes are open to a lot of the things that you either block out or don't see. So it was a good experience, and it allowed us to be able to create this amazing division that still does really awesome work in the food insecurity sector.
Absolutely. Yeah. COVID was just a weird time, I think, for everyone. And gosh, I remember I was trying to launch the Nike League and put on races. And I thought, I can't tell kids to social distance. Are you kidding me? And I also found out Marion County had the most crazy permit ever, which I hope I never have to fill out again for events. But anyway, okay. The next kind of serious discussion or topic is, what are some of your struggles? Do we have any struggles that might be a good way to talk about and maybe get support or just things to talk about?
Yeah, I'll kick off with that. I mean, like any other nonprofit, you know, the financial piece of the puzzle is always the biggest hill to climb. We're in this very fortunate spot that we don't have an issue with demand. Our issue is with capacity. And so we've been really focused on where we found a lot of success over the first few years, which is the corporate donors and the larger scale philanthropy. And we, you know, somewhat intentionally have neglected those individual donors and donor base. And so we're here in 2025 really focused on being more intentional with engaging with individual donors. For the first time ever, we're rolling out an endowing fund that will allow us additional stability moving forward. But from where I sit, we need to do a better job of connecting with the bicycle community. I mean, ironically, the ones we're least likely to get donations from in terms of financial contribution to the bicycling community. And so, you know, there's somewhat of this disconnect between everybody rides a bike. And when you're on a bike every day and it's your method of transportation or your method of fitness, it's easy to think that. But we're really trying to educate our neighbors, our friends that are competitive cyclists and casual cyclists and gravel riders and mountain bike riders. And, you know, you name the genre, that we're working to be able to give this next generation of potential cyclists an opportunity to connect with a bike. And so we're going to be a lot more vocal about that moving forward and a lot more attention with creating opportunities to fully engage with the cycling community.
Absolutely. Aaron, do you have any struggles that you wanted to talk about?
I think just continued acknowledgement of who we are and what we are. I mean, every day I talk to a new person that had no idea that we existed, and they've lived in Indianapolis for 15 years. So things like this podcast are extremely helpful, just at least making people aware of us. And really just asking people to reach out if you have any need, whether you're a school teacher or a parent that's wanting to get their kid into something. We more than likely have an avenue that we can accommodate them with.
Nice. Yeah. I did write this down as we were talking. Obviously, work, you have an established relationship with IPS schools. What were some of maybe the initial struggles of establishing that partnership? Was there a lot of hoops you had to jump through to get into the school programming? Or if, let's say, a new school district wants to get involved, is there a lot of things that you have to present and consider?
Yeah, great question. If I had ability to package this, I would have a whole second business in educating organizations how to get into school. So it's probably my most asked question with unsolicited phone calls asking how we did it, right? The candid answer is every school district's different. So, I mean, here in Marion County alone, we not only have IPS, we've got 9 other school districts within the Beltway. So there's a lot of challenges that comes with that. We work with some schools that the PE teacher is the one that reached out to us, and we kind of work bottom up. We work with other school districts where it's the superintendent that has brought us in, and we work with the schools, you know, top down. So for us, it's being professional. It's the easy things. It's the quarterly background checks we run on our staff. It's, you know, making sure our insurance is proper and clear. It's putting together as professional of a package as possible. So when we are talking with a school for the first time, they know we know what we're doing, and we're not being clumsy with it. And fortunately for us, school districts have been beyond welcoming, and we just continue to build even stronger relationships now with just current partners, but the more than 24 districts we work with on an annual basis.
Yeah. Yeah. Aaron, did you want to add anything about that at all?
No.
Okay. All right. My next question is let's talk about fundraising. Obviously, you mentioned this before. Every nonprofit is always needing more funding. It's your operations. I just interviewed HMBA and the Indy Trail Collective, and they talked about how the memberships that, you know, you sign up for, it all goes towards, you know, back to the organization. And it includes like fuel to, you know, power the chainsaw that cuts the tree down at Town Run that went, you know, that fell over the trail. What are some of the things that you need funding for, or could let our listeners know how to help?
Yeah. So, I mean, you nailed it. It's a lot more than just the cost of staff or the cost of a building, right? It's fuel, it's wear and tear on vehicles, it's replacement equipment, across all of our program lines. I mean, our insurance bill alone is more than $80,000 a year at 913. So, it's a cost of doing business with it. And our organization has been very fortunate to be intentional with how we've grown the revenue line items, between 913 Sports and 913 Logistics to help support that growth. But I think the lowest hanging fruit for us is the opportunities where we ask individuals to consider sponsoring a lock or sponsoring a helmet or sponsoring a bike for a student coming through our Building Bikes program. Those really tangible things that we have a real cost to. We have an investment into every bike that goes out the door from Building Bikes. We're basically a shop at that point where we're paying wholesale for those bicycles and turning around instead of selling them at retail, we're giving them away. So we've got to make the business model work for us, and we really feel that there is an opportunity for those that want to support us. It's going to our website, it's going to our support page or donate page, and supporting with one of those specific line items. If you can help us buy a lock or a helmet, great. If you can help us buy a bike, even better. If you want to support an entire scholarship for a student, phenomenal. I mean, it cost us about $1,000 to put a student through our Building Bikes program when you factor in the raw cost of bicycle and helmet and lock, as well as the staff time and wear and tear. So it is a huge expense to be able to do it and do it properly. But the takeaway from that is something that is life changing to the kids that come through this program. And, you know, that's on the individual side. The other aspect that we are often very fortunate to play a role in is the work we do with corporate partners and corporate marketing entities. So schools are pretty strong marketing environments. Brands want to have brand alignment in front of kids and in front of schools, and we provide a turnkey service for that. So it's not unusual for us to be kids riding bikes powered by Peyton Manning Children's Hospital on a Monday in an IPS school, and then kids riding bikes powered by Glick Philanthropies on Tuesday. We're able to really leverage the marketing and brand penetration with both a corporate and philanthropic sector and help tell that story within the schools and within the clients we serve.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Next question. Think about this. What are some of your big goals coming up? Like, what's next? What are some big things that you guys have? I mean, don't tell me everything, because that's the secret, right, to 913 Sports. But what are some of the things that you could maybe share with our listeners about some of your big goals?
Yeah, I think probably the worst kept secret right now, and we're starting to talk about it more publicly, is our continued push into these STEM modules. So whether it's field trips here, whether it's taking the STEM concept and modules to the classrooms, it's been something we've internally been developing over the past 18 months, and we're in transition from internal to go live mode right now. So we're really excited for that. To us, the bike is this ultimate whiteboard, right? You can teach physics, you can teach mass standards, you can teach gear ratios. You can teach the fact that, you know, gravity is a mean mistress and it hurts when you fall down. So there's all of these different things we can layer in with a continued goal of being a resource for the educators and the kids we're serving. We're also being very intentional with the what's next at the depot. So we're getting ready to undergo a pretty significant additional build out and remodel in the front part of our building that will add another 4,000 square feet of classroom space, meeting space. So I'll be glad to host one of those board meetings for you at some point. And, you know, continuing to focus on how we bring this property back to life. I mean, it's a property that's got 130 year plus history. We feel like we are stewards of that history now. And so we're making sure we continue to renovate and repurpose the space to its former glory.
Yeah. Aaron, do you have any goals of 913 Sports you want to share?
Definitely the STEM stuff is very exciting. We have a couple licensed teachers on staff, and being able to really utilize them for their skill set has been really awesome to see. And then being able to have more options for our community to come here and utilize our space is really exciting to see. We're really excited to be a part of this neighborhood and want to continue to be an asset to it.
Thanks. Okay. I have two more questions, and I promise you, the interview will be over before you know it. Best memory. Can you think right now one particular memory that you could share with our listeners that really transformed you, changed you, or just a really great memory?
I'm looking at you, Aaron.
You're looking at the screen. I can't tell you're looking at me. For you to say specifically one is really hard, because I thought about this question prior, and starting in this role as someone that was in the field every day working with different kids from all different facets of life was a real eye-opening experience. You see kids that are very well off in their life, whether it be economically or just academically. But then you see kids that you can obviously tell are going through a rough time. But the most memorable times for me are working with kids that might be a part of a special needs class, or kids that PE teachers have a real hard time engaging with. Being able to see such a simple thing as a bicycle on a stationary trainer really opening up a child's perspective, and not only getting them to be active, but also to meet them where they are with an adaptable bike or a hand cycle, and then be able to experience alongside their kids. That stuff is what always continues to resonate with me.
That's great. Tom?
I mean, for me, it's, I really think back to that first day on Valentine's Day of 2012 when I saw the smiles on these kids' faces and I knew I was onto something. And that was the momentum to, you know, the driving force. I want to be able to build this and build this bigger and build this better. And it's the same smile every time, every day at a school site. And so that first instance, that first experience sticks with me, but I'm fortunate that I get to go see that whenever I want, whenever I go visit one of our teams and see that same smile and that same excitement about what is going on the bike and how we can utilize it and how these kids just gravitate towards it. And the kids that don't normally participate in PE class are the ones we can't get off the bikes. And like, these are all great problems and great opportunities to have, right? So at the end of the day, no matter what, you know, how bad my day is in the office, and I'm fortunate those are few and far between, I know I'm getting to get kids riding bikes and building bikes. And to me, that is the best possible job in the world.
Absolutely. You know, I've watched your organization grow as well, you know, from my perspective, and it is incredible to see and now hear more about it. So I want to talk about one more thing, and then I will, I probably have to edit this out because I just had a brain fart. So 13 years so far with 913, which is great. You have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, it looks like, on your website. Is there anything else that I mentioned or I missed that you want to mention?
I think that covers the gauntlet right now in terms of all of our social media. One of the things we're going to be more intentional at doing is actually trying to create some more open houses as we get into the second half here in 2025 to be able to engage people within the space directly, to be able to welcome the bicycle community into here. You're seeing us do more direct facing engagements like our Cranksgiving bike ride where we actually use the depot as one of those stops. So we love the virtual world. We love social media. Again, kids smiling on bikes and being happy, like that's an easy hook in terms of the photo. But I think for Aaron and I, we also really want to be more intentional with engaging with real life humans and getting people here to be able to understand what we do.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to post this episode because it's just, like I said, lots of great, good stuff going on. I have one personal question that I want to ask just because I love cats. Is the cat still at the depot or at the main office?
Yeah. Wheeler, the chief mousing officer, is is alive and well, and I have a feeling we'll be here long after we're all gone.
So. Oh, gosh, that's great. Well, I appreciate you two taking the time to speak to me about 913 Sports. I'll leave all the great info in the description of the podcast. But again, I'll edit this and get it out to our listeners. And again, I hope you two have a great weekend and taking the time to talk to me.
Great. Thanks, Margaret. Appreciate it. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope you really enjoyed this podcast. For more information about our organization and other future podcasts, visit www.bicycleindiana.org. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you have a really great day.